Welcome to the July podcast for the Australian Family Physician. I'm Rachel Lee, one of the medical editors at AFP, and it's my pleasure today to be talking with Dr. Cliff Rosendahl, who's a GP at Kapalabar and a lecturer at the University of Queensland in the School of Medicine. Now, Dr. Rosendahl has a special interest in skin, and today we'll be talking about his article from the AFP on dermatoscopy in general practice. So welcome, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rachel.
I guess I thought we might start with the with the basics of what dermatoscopy is, really.
Yes, well, dermatoscopy is the use of a skin microscope, a handheld microscope, usually a magnification of 10 times to examine the skin using either fluid like oil or polarisation to stop reflection from the stratum corneum and to give a view of the structures in the blood vessels underneath the stratum corneum.
Okay, and how do you recommend that GPs use this tool, I guess, to enhance their practice?
Well, it's been shown now that dermatoscopy improves the diagnostic accuracy for melanomas, that's melanocytic lesions, and pigmented non-melanocytic lesions, to the extent that it's standard of care. In other words, it's regarded as necessary if you're going to manage skin lesions, especially pigmented skin lesions. And so really, with the amount of skin cancer we have in Australia, probably the dermatoscope is as important as a stethoscope for a general practitioner, and that's probably the way we should look at it.
Okay, so we need to all be very familiar with it.
Yes.
And I guess, so a lot of, certainly a lot of practices do have one available, but I guess the big thing is to know what to do with what you see. How should GPs interpret what we're seeing down the dermatoscope?
Okay, well, it's been shown that while the dermatoscopy assists diagnosis, it only does so if the person has been educated in its use. So it is important to get some instruction in how to use your dermatoscope. There are courses available by the Skin Cancer College, by the University of Queensland, and no doubt by others as well. And probably it pays for a general practitioner to enrol in a course, if possible.
Yeah.
Certainly to read written material on the subject, and there are some excellent texts available. But it's important to become informed, not just pick up the dermatoscope and assume you're going to be able to use it. It's also important to know the particular dermatoscope that you're going to use. The important thing there is that some dermatoscopes use polarised light to avoid the need for oil or gel immersion fluid. But this can actually change the perception of colours seen through the dermatoscope. And so this needs to be understood. And so it's important to be informed both when you're acquiring the device and when you're using it.
Right. So if you use someone else's device, obviously it might be slightly different to what you're used to seeing.
That's right. But it's probably not a bad idea to get some experience with various devices. And I think it's very useful to talk to the reps who market these devices, because they often have a range of both polarised and non-polarised devices that you can use. And of course, there are devices which you can both use in polarised and non-polarised mode. And there's a very, very good argument for considering one of these devices, because both polarised and non-polarised dermatoscopy have advantages and disadvantages. And so to be able to have both in the one instrument is probably a very good thing.
Right. And there's a whole lot of, I guess, kind of confusing terminology around. I'm not sure that we can go through all of it today, but are there key things that you wanted to do to try and sort of make it, or tell us to make it a little bit easier to understand?
Sure. Look, dermatoscopy is a fairly recent science. The first handheld dermatoscopes are only available around about 1987, and terminology sort of grew and evolved, and you know, we had lots of descriptive terms such as red lacunes when you get these red clods and hemangioma and leaf-like areas or maple leaf-like structures and BCCs and spoke wheel structures. When you get radial lines, if it's a BCC, they're called maple leaf-like areas. If it's a melanoma, they're called radial streaming. And the problem with this sort of language is that there was a presumption of the diagnosis when you use a descriptive term. Now, Harold Kittler introduced revised pattern analysis, and the importance of that is that description precedes diagnosis. So he avoids using terms which carry a preconceived diagnostic impression. Mm-hmm. So rather than saying radial streaming when you see lines, radial lines at the edge of a lesion, he just calls them lines radial, segmental. And that means that might be a BCC, it might be a melanoma, but you're not assuming what it is when you make the description.
Right.
So to describe first and then reach a and consider diagnosis is the way we think it should be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And certainly in the article, you've got some great sort of simple diagrams to help people understand what the various terms refer to, which is obviously very handy. It's hard to kind of go through that without having
sure.
the pictures in front of us.
What I can say is that the language of revised pattern analysis is very simple.
Mm.
It's designed to be used by busy people. You don't need to learn a whole new vocabulary, but there are five basic structures. And if you understand these five basic structures, you can describe any pigment or skin lesion. And the basic structures are lines, pseudopods, circles, clods, and dots. That's five structures. And if there's an area where none of these dominate, that's called structureless.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that each of these is clearly defined. So there's no ambiguity about what a structure is, and that's important.
Yep.
And, of course, lines are further divided up into five different subtypes as well because they have diagnostic significance. But really, it's quite a simple language to learn,
mm-hmm.
and then every pigmented lesion can be described in terms of these basic structures.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. And some of what you talk about in your article is your algorithm, I guess, for using the dermatic, and so you talk about chaos and clues. I was wondering if you could talk about explain what you mean by chaos.
Okay, well, the first thing when you look at a pigmented skin lesion is you want to know whether it's suspicious or not. Because if it's not suspicious, you can move to the next lesion.
Mm.
And we summarise that in one word, chaos. And we define chaos as asymmetry of structure or colour. Basically, malignant tissue is disorganised. It doesn't grow in a controlled fashion, and therefore it will tend to be asymmetrical. And the assessment of chaos is a very rapid assessment. You don't need to concentrate and get a headache, analysing anything. You can look at a lesion and you can see straight away whether it's chaotic or whether it's symmetrical. And with time, this becomes actually a scanning, very easy assessment. And this is the basis of chaos and clues, is to first of all select the lesions which have asymmetry of structure or colour, and then to examine those lesions carefully for clues to malignancy,
mm-hmm.
and move on from the other ones make the examination at the speed of a normal clinical examination.
Yeah, okay. And so if it is a chaotic lesion or a suspicious lesion, so then what then are the clues to malignancy?
Well, we have named eight clues, and they're detailed in the article.
Mm.
They are, number one, an eccentric structureless area. Now, that's an area within a lesion without any particular element dominating, which can be any colour except skin colour. So if it's one of the colours of melanin, that's black, brown, grey or blue, it's usually due to the irregular deposition of melanin by malignant melanocytes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's red, it's due to increased blood flow, and if it's white, it's usually due to regression. And in the eccentric structureless white areas, you'll often see blood vessels very clearly displayed because there's no pigment obscuring them. The second clue is thick lines, reticular or branched, and that is the same as the broadened network of the Menzies algorithm. And that is produced by malignant melanocytes filling the retae ridges and making the network wider. The third clue is grey or blue structures. Now, one of the beauties of dermatoscopy is that melanin is portrayed as a different colour depending on its depth in the skin.
Mm.
And so when you get melanin deep in the skin, in the dermis, you get a thing called the Tyndall effect. Now, the Tyndall effect is similar to the effect that makes the sky blue. The collagen particles in the dermis scatter the light, and it's sent back to the skin surface either a blue or a grey colour, depending on the depth in the dermis. So when you see grey or particularly blue, this is an indication that in some way melanin has become, has descended into the dermis. And of course, one way is for an invasive melanoma, the melanocytes, to carry it down there. So this is a very important sign. The next sign, clue is black dots or clods peripheral. Now, when melanin is at the very surface of the stratum corneum, because it's a very efficient pigment and absorbs all light, it appears black, jet black. And so one of the features of melanomas in particular is the pagetoid spread of malignant melanocytes from the dermoepidermal junction up towards the stratum corneum. So when they reach the stratum corneum, if they are carrying melanin, they'll appear black. This is what gives this clue to malignancy. The fifth clue is Lyne's radial or pseudopods in the segmental distribution. So in malignant tissue, whether it be a melanoma or a basal cell carcinoma, you can get radial lines on the edge of a lesion, and in melanomas you can get pseudopods, which are lines with a bulbous end. The sixth clue is white lines. Now these clues are not just to melanoma, they're to any pigmented skin malignancy. So CARS and clues is an algorithm, it's the first algorithm designed to detect any pigmented skin malignancy, and the sorting out whether it's a melanoma or a pigmented BCC or a pigmented SCC is a secondary process.
Yeah.
The seventh clue is polymorphous vessels, so vessels of more than one type. If dot vessels are present as an additional vessel type, that's a very strong clue to melanoma. And the final clue is lines parallel on the ridges, which is in acral lesions, it's a clue to acral melanoma, or lines parallel chaotic on the nails. So that's lines of pigment varying in width, interval, and colour on the nails in a stripe from the proximal nail fold to the nail edge. That's a clue to nail matrix melanoma. So those are the eight clues that we describe to malignancy.
Right, fantastic. And there is quite a bit more detail about them in the article, obviously.
Obviously.
And examples of them as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, there are photographs of them and an explanation of each clue in the article.
Yeah. And one of the other things that struck me from your article was you did have sort of a little caveat, I guess, about symmetrical lesions, and you had sort of an exceptions to the rule that, because obviously most symmetrical lesions are benign. Could you just take us through that?
Sure. Look, this is put in, we hate exceptions because obviously we like an algorithm that just works perfectly, but it's very important not to miss a melanoma.
Mm.
And there are some melanomas that may be symmetrical. And we found that by adding these exceptions, it was a safety net. Firstly, any changing lesion on an adult should be viewed with suspicion. Okay, so whether the lesion is symmetrical or not, if there's a lesion which is changing, and you can't unequivocally give it a benign diagnosis, such as seborrheic keratosis, then it should be biopsied. Secondly, we've found that melanomas on the head and neck may be symmetrical, right, but they'll generally have some grey. So if you see dermatoscopic grey colour on a lesion on the head or neck, then that should be viewed with suspicion and biopsied. Any pigmented nodular lesion, now, nodular melanomas can grow very rapidly and they can initially be symmetrical. And so any pigmented nodular lesion that you can't confidently diagnose as a benign lesion should be excised. And when I say biopsy of pigmented lesions, I mean excisional biopsy. And of course, any lesion on the palms or the soles with a parallel ridge pattern due to melanin, right, should be considered for biopsy. You can get a parallel ridge pattern due to blood in a corneal bruise, but if it persists more than a couple of weeks and it's due to melanin, it's a sign of melanoma.
Yeah.
Those are the four exceptions.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, look, thank you for that excellent summary of what's in the article. Obviously, this is a very visual topic, and I really advise listeners to have a look at the article and, as you said, perhaps seeking more information elsewhere as well. But is there anything else that you wanted to particularly emphasise or add to what we've discussed today?
Look, I think that covers the article quite well, and there's a nice little case study at the end which is very interesting, where a lady is showing the doctor her husband's back, and there's actually a melanoma on her arm. And a point that we make is that at the clinical level, before you use your dermatoscope, if something breaks the pattern, that's a very important lesion to examine. Ideally we would examine every pigmented lesion or every lesion on a person with a dermatoscope, but certainly if something is larger, or if it's the only lesion in that particular part of the body, or if it's an unusual shape, for example, this lesion on the lady's arm was a heart shape, then that should be a magnet to your dermatoscope. And then you can apply the algorithm and sort that lesion out. But the break in the pattern is probably the best clue that you'll get before you put your dermatoscope on something. And again, it is due to the chaotic behaviour of malignant tissue. It puts things where you don't expect them to be, and it gives them a shape or a colour that you don't expect to see. And these things, you should train your eye to catch the break in the pattern.
Mm. Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And yes, I do hope that people will follow up by having a look at the article and at further information. So thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Fantastic. Bye.
Bye.